Welcome you to our Sunday School Hour, a time when we're doing Harmony of the Gospels. Great to have Brandon visiting with us today, home for the holidays. Let's just, Brandon, why don't you just thank the Lord for our Sunday School Hour, okay?
Yes, sir. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us here together safely today and for making that possible. And we thank you for those who are yet coming and ask that you bring them to us safely. And we ask most of all, Lord, that you give us hearts and minds that are fixed upon you right now. That we have the focus to learn from you the things that you would have us to learn, and a heart also to respond as you want us to, Lord. Would you cause us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be developed into his likeness because of how you'll work in our hearts and lives right now. We thank you for it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Well, we've continued a journey with our Lord and Savior as he is headed back to Jerusalem for his death and resurrection. This morning, you'll notice on your sheets that we're going to be harmonizing Matthew chapter 20 and Mark chapter 10. And a mother and some sons, they asked Jesus for the highest seats. Now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 19, see what is going on here. Matthew 19, a little review as we turn to our present text today. In Matthew chapter 19, notice, if you will, verse 20 says, "And a young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth, what lack I?" Remember, he came wondering what he could do to have eternal life. And of course, the Lord spoke to him about keeping the commandments. He said, "Oh, all these commandments I've kept." Then he spoke about the aspect of that giving up his possessions and following him. And we told her that he had great possessions, and we don't know that he did follow the Lord. And the Lord spoke about how with God anything is possible. He can even save rich people. And what an encouraging thing to know that there in verse 26, "For with God all things are possible." Then we have an interesting, Peter, he wants to know about, hey, what are they going to get for following him? And it's interesting. Let's take a look at these verses because they will make have a play in our passage today. "And Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in their regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." All right, now, no doubt, not only has the apostles heard these words, but those who were following him, even the mother, James and John, most likely heard these words and the promises that he's giving to his 12 apostles. All right, now, but I want to show you one more thing. Notice verse 30. Jesus says, "And many that are first, oh, they shall be last. And the last shall be first." All right, now, look down with me as we closed out our passage last time, and looking at verses 1 through 16. And when the Lord is describing the kingdom of heaven. And he says this, "For the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, few are chosen." All right, so he ends these thoughts with this aspect. First is going to be last, last is going to be first. All right, now keep that, those thoughts in your mind. Now jump down with me to verse 17. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples apart in the way. He said to them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they're going to deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." All right. Now with that background, let's begin with verse 20. And we're also going to be, as I mentioned, harmonizing with Mark. The question I ask is, who at this time comes to Jesus? Well, Matthew, right here you see, then, at this moment, came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. All right. That's what Matthew gives us as an account. What does Mark say? And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him. Now, I write, this is probably Salome, the sister of Jesus' mother's Mary. And I give you a couple other references where they're mentioned together. What do you think she was thinking about? And I gave you the wrong reference. I said Matthew 19:20. The verse I wanted you to look at was Matthew 19:28, the one we said that, verily I say unto you, that he which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What do you think she's thinking about now? I already gave you a little hint. Where sons are going to... Are mothers concerned about their boys and what they're going to be doing for a living? How they're going to live? Most mothers are pretty concerned. Most mothers may get involved too much at times. Looking after their son's welfare, wanting to know how they're doing and so forth. But she's not the only one that came to him. Now, Mark says James and John came. Matthew says, well, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons came. So we harmonize those two passages and we recognize that not only is mom there inquiring, but we also see that the boys are there inquiring. And who are the two sons of Zebedee? James and John, all right? James and John. So we see who came to Jesus. Now watch this. Why did they come to Jesus? Well, Matthew, he tells this, man, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. That's what Matthew says. They came worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. What did they ask of Jesus? Well, Mark tells us this, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? That takes some intestinal fortitude. To come and that you should do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Any other thoughts that you have concerning what you're seeing there? Yes.
Are they cousins? Well, it says here the mother of Zebedee's children was maybe Salome, Mary's sister.
Yes.
So they would have been cousins.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So they probably think they have some kind of preeminence because this is their cousin.
Yes.
A little bolder than maybe
yes.
The others.
And yes. Okay. That's good. That's very good. Well, what's Jesus ask of them? And he said unto her, okay, what will thou? That's Matthew's account. Mark says, and he said unto them, including them all then, I guess, or certainly the boys, what would ye that I should do for you? We want you to do whatever, whatever we desire. He says, well, what do you desire? What's your desire? How would you like to go to the Lord tomorrow, tonight, and say, Lord, how about give me whatever I want? He says, okay, what do you want? Well, how do they reply to Jesus' question? Matthew says this on sheet 2. She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. All right. Mark, he says, And he said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in glory. So as you're looking at this, you see that Matthew's account is emphasizing more about what the mother was asking. Mark's account is emphasizing more about what the boys are asking. But in reality, both mother and boys are asking for what? Same thing. All right, Matthew is emphasizing the mother. Mark is emphasizing the boys. But all three of them are asking for the same thing. They want to know. Now remember, look at verse 28 again. Verily I say unto you, he just spoke these words not too long before this, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All right, they've heard these words. Man, this is going to be our reward for faithfully following the Lord. Now, the Lord's perception, though, with these words, is he talking about an earthly kingdom or a heavenly kingdom? Well, he's thinking of the heavenly kingdom. But what's in the mind of mom? What's in the mind of these two boys? You think they're thinking about a heavenly kingdom, or you think they're still thinking about an earthly kingdom? I'm sure it's most likely an earthly kingdom that they have in their mind and their heart. And they want to know, wow, who's going to sit on the right? Who's going to sit on the left? Let one of my boys sit on your right-hand side, Lord. Let one of my boys sit on your left. And the boys are desirous of the same thing. Well, notice how Jesus answered their request. Matthew, he says this, but Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Mark, he says it basically the same thing, but Jesus said to them, ye know not what you ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Now I ask you a question. What's Jesus talking about? Drink of the cup, being baptized with my baptism. Yeah, remember what he just said before we read? We saw it in verses 17, 18, 19. He says, but behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and scribes. They're going to condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock, to scourge, to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. That's what he's talking about. That's a cup. And of course, you and I know in the garden, he lifted up the cup and he asked, well, Lord, what? If he could what? Might take that away, but thy will be done. And of course, we know that night the Lord would have to drink that cup. Well, here's something we can ponder on. What do you suppose would have happened if Jesus said to them, okay, John, you're on the right, you're on the left. What do you think would happen? And the Lord answered him that way. Because he didn't really tell him who was going to sit on the right hand, did he? Or who's going to sit on the left. He just asked him, are you going to be able to do the same sacrifice that I'm going to make? And the sacrifice he's talking about is like death, isn't he? What do you think would happen? And he said to the boys, okay, James, left. James, John, right. Anybody want to venture a guess? Yeah. I mean, I surmise that. The fact that they came and the fact that they asked.
Is the right hand the place of honor?
Right hand is the place of honor, see? So even had they said, okay, you can be on my right, my gut feeling tells me that there would still have been some disputing, some squabbling. Well, that's just surmising. But let's take a look at what's in reality. How did they answer Jesus with their response? Well, Matthew says, they say unto him, we are able. Look at Mark's. They said unto him, we can. So the final question I ask you on page 2 is this. What do you think James and John were struggling with? I mean, these are the followers of Jesus Christ. Can it be possible that they might be struggling with pride? Heavens forbid, we don't struggle with pride, do we? Huh? Man, what a warning this passage is for you and I. It was Peter who said, hey, what rewards are we going to get? It's James and John who's coming and saying, hey, where can we sit? What seats at this wonderful table are we going to, when we're judging, what can I be at the right? Can I be at the left? Who's going to be at the left? Who's going to be at the right? It's a warning. It's a caution for all of us that pride can raise up its ugly head at all times. Well, how did Jesus answer their response there in page 3? And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and ye shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now, Mark says it like this. Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Now you notice that Matthew had added the phrase of my Father. Now, I do mention there on your sheet that James, he suffered death at the hands of Herod Agrippa, Acts 12, verses 1 and 2. And we also believe that John is thought to have died a martyr's death near the very end of the first century. So it's believed both of these individuals indeed, and we have no reason to doubt it because Christ had said what? Ye shall drink. So we know that indeed they would give their lives for their faith. Now, anybody got a thought or anything you want to add at that point? Well, okay, so we may see some pride in Peter here in the fact that he was wanting to know what the rewards are going to be. We see James and John coming and asking about the seats of position. But do you think they're the only ones of the 12 that struggled with pride and lust? Well, how did the other disciples respond when they heard this? Matthew says that when the 10 heard it, oh, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Mark says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. So the 10, that must have also included who? Peter. All right. So what do you think they were displeased about? Isn't it amazing? Do you remember what we just read in the verses Matthew 1 through 16? Okay, master went out and he hired some men. 6 o'clock in the morning. And they agreed on a wage, penny. All right, denarius. Then he went out some hours later, got some others. Then he went out later in the day, 1 hour left to go in the work, hired them. When it was time to pay him, what did he do? He gave the same amount to all of them. And, of course, those who worked a full day, they were indignant, weren't they? All right, they were upset. Well, here we see These two brothers inquiring, boy, what's going to be our position? Asking about what's going to be our position. And the Lord's already laid out a thing. Man, you know what's important? The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So what do you think they're displeased about? Because they were moved with indignation. They were much displeased. What's going on? They're what? What would you call them? They're jealous. What is it? Hey, what are you two doing? Trying to get the best seats, if you will, at the feast. Wanting to be the closest. Remember, they want to get up there closest to the head. And they're jealous. Now, these are his 12. And if we could see pride and lust in the 12, how much more so should you and I be cognizant of how easy pride and lust can cause us to become jealous, become envious? Well, look at page 4. What does Jesus do and say to them all? Well, Jesus called them unto him and he said, well, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, the leaders of the Gentiles, they exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. So the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion. They that are great exercise authority. Mark says it like this. Jesus called them to him, and he saith to them, you know, they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them. Then he refers to them as the great ones. They exercise authority upon them. All right, so what's Jesus saying? How do the Gentiles, how does the world, how do they rule? The princes, how do they rule? How do those who are great rule? They show what? Power, dominion. All right? We see they exercise authority upon them. All right? That's how the world rules. We show power. We show authority. Okay, well, look what else Jesus says to him. Matthew says it like this, but it shall be not so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Well, Mark says it almost the same. Look at this. But it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. What should have been the goal of the disciples? To serve, to minister unto others. Peter says, hey, what am I going to get? What rewards are we going to get, huh? And James and John says, what seats are we going to sit in? Okay, who are we thinking about? Thinking about selves. See? You know, here in this earth while we're reigning, wow, man, where are we going to, who's going to be on the left? Who's going to be on the right as we reign with you, Lord? Because they're still not understanding about his aspect of his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, look at the statement of Baker there on the bottom, page 4. Do you think you now know what Jesus meant when he said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first? You see, he's been on his way, this on the highway he's been on, he's been paving it. And he's made the statement in verse 30, in chapter 19. He's made the statement in verse 16 of chapter 20. And now he's been building, and he's been building these blocks. And he's been trying to teach his followers, his 12, that if they want to be first, then they've got to be last. And how do you become last? By being a servant. Now, look at page 5. And whose example were they to follow? Matthew says this, even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. And Mark says it, for even the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He's now explaining to them and giving a purpose for his death. A ransom for many. That's why he's come, to be a sacrifice. So he's trying to instruct his followers, his faithful 12, hey, you want to be great? You want to be great? You want to be first? You got to be last. And you demonstrate that by ministering unto others. Hey, come follow me, Jesus says. Come follow me. Do as I do. I've come not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Oh, my goodness. Just think about that, people. How we struggle with that. I mean, we all just love to be ministered unto. We love to have praises of others heaped upon us. We just love it. And we struggle with it all the time to beat that down. Minister to me, minister to me. And, about once a month I make coffee. Every other day my wife makes the coffee. Now maybe I'll make it on. Yeah, that's probably about once a month. And she ministers, brings it into me, and I drink it. And I know, just the one time that I do it for her, how much she's blessed by it. All right? We all enjoyed being ministered unto. But what God is trying to teach us is that, man, you want to be my followers? You want to be closer to me? Here's how you get closer to me. You imitate me. How do we imitate him? I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. All right, let me ask you this as we close up this morning. What do these verses teach us about the triune God? Did we learn anything about our triune God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Did we learn anything today about that? Brandon?
I don't know that it's a main point of the passage, but it does illustrate something about God's love for us and his patience with us in that, and I don't remember chapter and verse, but there's a verse in the Old Testament that talks about God condescending to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Here we have God having condescended to take upon himself, human flesh, and all that goes along with it. And beyond just that, not immediately to reign as a king, but first to be a servant for our sake.
Amen. Amen. What's God's desire for us? Could you figure that out in that passage? God's desire for us is concerning ruling. Because we do learn about a little bit. God's desire for us, how does he want us to rule? Does he want us to rule like the Gentiles ruled, or does he want us to rule like Jesus ruled? Because the Gentiles, how do they rule? With authority. They exercise dominion. Today we're talking about the pastor's role. And so it was good for me to be hearing these verses right here, all right? But how does he want us to rule? He doesn't want us to rule like the Gentiles, like the world. He wants us to rule like Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our president and all those in office would exercise dominion like Christ exercised dominion, coming to minister and not to be ministered unto? That's what our Lord wants of us. Well, what about this? What do we learn about mankind? What do we learn about mothers? Mothers can what for their children? Yeah, well, okay, they can lust. They can lust for their children. Lust in the aspect, I want my child to be this. Hey, I want my child to do that. They can do that. What do we learn about brothers? They can also lust, can't they? They can lust for positions. Now, even Christians, those who are followers of Christ can do the same. That's what we learned about mankind. What do we learn about following Jesus? It can take great what? Following Jesus can take great sacrifices, even unto death. Oh, you want to drink of my cup? You want to be baptized in my baptism? So following Jesus may even involve losing one's life. And we talked about how men can be jealous over others who seek position. You know, if you're in the office and you're watching somebody trying to climb the ladder and with over individuals' bodies, you know, it's going to be tough for you to beat down your jealousy and your envy. But you must do so. Well, okay. These verses teach us about God. They teach us about mankind. So, how might these verses change our behavior? It was a nice little thing that we read this morning. Felt comfortable and so forth, perhaps. But how might these verses change our behavior? What might you purpose to do as a result of reading this passage? Yes. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Yes, Joe? Okay, you're right. You're right. Now, listen, here might be a purpose. When you're desiring a purpose, what would you want to examine within yourself? That you're not seeking this position from a spirit of what? Pride and lust. And you and I know we can deceive ourselves. You and I know we can be deceived by others, okay? Even the evil one himself. But that's not a bad question for any and all of us to ask, when you're seeking for a position, to ask, am I doing so out of my lust, of my flesh, out of a spirit of pride? And when you see others being promoted, it's not so bad to say, okay, my response, what is my response? You need to know the world's going to rule in a certain way. What we learn from that, don't be envious of them, don't be jealous of them, but rule in a different way. And rule not by, hey, look who I am. Rule by ministering unto others. Brandon, did you have something you wanted to say too? Go ahead, yeah, please.
It just, I'm almost saying exactly what you said, but it just struck me, at least among God's people. I think
anger, the pulse of a whole different worldview than we typically have. Whether it's a position of authority, from God's perspective, the one in authority is not there for his benefit. Ultimately, it's really, at least in part, for the benefit of others, certainly
yes.
to do God's will in that position, but for the benefit of others. But that goes even beyond the position of authority. Are we here in this world for our own benefit, to do our own will, or to do our will of the Father who sent us,
yep.
in part by serving others
yep.
rather than ourselves in our interactions with them?
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, it's just tucked in there, but it's not just tucked in there. The Lord's been laying the groundwork as he's going along with his 12. And there's some very important lessons that he's trying to teach them. And, of course, the premier one is, look, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. And what does that mean? Well, that means that the more I am a servant, the more that I will be blessed. Be a servant. Serve. And serve for what purpose? For his will. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you for these verses that we're able to look at this morning in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do thank you just for the qualities we see in our Lord. And it's those qualities of self-sacrificing that we desire to emulate in our own life. So we would pray, Father, one, that you would impress upon us, even this week, the importance of self-sacrifice. And, Lord, that you would bring to memory any and all times that we would be exhibiting a very selfish and greedy spirit. We just thank you now, and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.